Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor. I bless you for being my everything. I thank you right now, God, for being my provision, my leader, my guide, my comforter, my friend, my companion. And today I owe you my prayer. I owe you my worship. Hallelujah. I bless you, God, for being the greatest God in the whole world. I will sing to you in this holy place. I will tell you even in the marketplace. I will pray to you in my secret place. Everything. Yeah, I stand and give you glory and praise. For you are my everything. Hallelujah. Come on, stand and take 3 seconds to begin to worship God right now. I don't care where you're standing. I want you to lift up your holy hands and begin to offer a worship, a praise, of appreciation to the Lord for being your everything. Before all mankind, I will continually praise your holy name for the rest of my life. I can stand and testify that none compares to you, for you are El Shaddai. Oh yeah, you are my everything. Father, I give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you are my everything. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your holy name this day. And God, I will let the whole world know how great you are. What an awesome provider. What an awesome comforter. What an awesome friend. What an awesome God. I just want to testify a second. You are my life. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything to me. Even when I feel like giving up, you're my joy. So divine. Yes, you are. And Lord, you're my peace that surpasses all understanding. When I don't know where I'm going to turn to. Lord, you're my hope in the time of trouble. Coming from somehow, some way you make a way. You're my life, you're my strength. Lord, you're everything to me, and I gotta testify that you are my joy. When I feel like crying, when I feel like giving up, when I feel like throwing in the towel, you're my peace. Well, the devil thought he was gonna take my mind. For the trial of this life, you step right in on time. You became my hope in the time of trouble. When the gas prices went high, you still made a way. You are my life. You're my strength. You calm my mind, just like you calm the sea. You
and peace, life, strength, peace, joy. Lord, you are our everything. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Amen. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister, Deaconess Loretta Wells. Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Kathy. How are you?
Well, wonderful. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Good morning,
take it away.
Talk. Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries family. My name is Deaconess Loretta Welch, and I will be bringing you this morning's scripture and prayer. It comes from 2 Corinthians 6 through 10 and 14 through 21. It is titled, We Are God's Ambassadors. And it reads as follows. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So whether we are here in this body or away from this body, our goal is to please him. For we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating each other from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. And he gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Come back to God, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear the answers and answer the prayers of the faith that are lifted to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey and be blessed by. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and preach word lift up Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found by you. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, God's ambassadors. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta, for that scripture and prayer. We appreciate you and have a wonderful day.
And you do the same, Kathy.
Okay. Thank you. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Come on, right here.
It was the blood.
Can't even picture Jesus rocking like that, can they? Amen. But like John the Baptist said over there to his disciples when they got concerned about Jesus baptizing more people than him, really it wasn't him, it was those following him. But anyway, he told them disciples something I will never forget. You know what he said? No man, or let me put it like this, nobody, amen, no human being God created could have anything unless God gives it. Amen. So every time I look at folks who I think shouldn't have nothing, I say, well, they couldn't have that if God didn't give it. That helps me to stop envying. That helps me to stop being green-eyed jealous. Woo, I'm telling you, hey, we got the victory, y'all. Did you notice how I said that in the past tense? We have the victory. We got the victory. We don't have to get it. I ain't getting the victory over nothing. I got the victory over everything. I'm an overcomer. Here's a song somebody wrote. Want to hear?
Here's now, we're here to encourage you to walk into your new season, a season of freedom and a season of victory. Here it is. By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory. Adrian, won't you help me sing it? By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed, delivered, made complete. Now I'm walking in victory.
We're gonna sing that again.
By the hand got it now. Come on, lift it up. By the hand, I've been set free. Oh, now I'm walking in victory. Oh, said I'm walking in victory. Said I'm walking in victory. Walking in victory. Got my joy back. Oh, I'm walking in victory. Said I'm walking in. I'm walking in victory, get my feet back.
By the hand of the Almighty, I've been set free, healed and delivered.
I got my joy back. longer fast.
No longer
fast. Amen.
Now you see me, I'm stronger, stronger.
That's the way Jesus wants you to sing in the fiery furnace. Not after you get out. Amen. We love to wait until God do that thing, and then we dance all over the place. You better learn how to dance before that thing get done. You better go to Hebrews 11, verse 1, and say, faith now, faith right now. Faith is the substance of things that we hope for. Why? We read the Bible and saw what God said. Now we got hope. And guess what? We also get confidence with that, even though we don't yet possess it. Why? Because God said it. So we got hope and we got confidence. And we get that just because of what God did. It's not much we have to do. All he asks us to do is believe, trust, lean, and rely on him. I ain't going to preach. We got to preach. Amen. You know what? When we come into the Lord's house, we're reading in the book of Psalms. Well, we finished it now. But y'all know what's up with the psalmists. When they come into the Lord's house, they don't come in there with a mush mouth face. They don't come in there like they had lemons for breakfast. They come into the sanctuary with expectation. Amen. We need to live like Simeon. Y'all hear me talk about Simeon and Luke 2 and Anna. Amen. Them two over there, they lived in great expectation every single day. And they lived like that till they was old. And guess what? They woke up every day expecting to see the Savior. And guess what? Anna was 84 years old, had been married 7 years, husband died, but she stayed faithful to the Lord every single day in expectation of the Savior coming. That helped her to get over her dead husband. Amen. And then there's Simeon, who just waited around to see if God was actually going to send the Savior into the world. And he had actually been told by the Holy Ghost, you're not going to even leave here till you see the Savior. So he woke up every day expecting to see the Savior. Do you wake up every day in expectation? I heard a preacher one time preach. I ain't going to preach. I heard a preacher one time preach that you need to come to church with a shopping bag. And I just sat there for a minute and waited while he paused to say why you need a shopping bag. He said, come like you want God to put something in it.
Oh, God, once again, we come into your presence with expectancy in our hearts. God, we know you're going to bless us. So we lift our hands in the sanctuary and we give you glory and honor.
Is it over? Yes, Lord, it's over. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love that song. It always makes me think of Deacon Rayfield Rogers when we was at the hole and he was doing the music. The song kept starting over. He was looking at it like, is this thing broke? Amen. I just thought about that. We used to have so much fun at that back table. Me, him, and Tyrone Hamilton. Amen. Father of the church, my brother-in-law. But anyway, God bless. Well, we're going to slow it down. Just wow, it's not like we're in the club, don't it? We're going to slow it down. But anyway, we're going to slow it down a little bit, and we're going to contemplate a little bit. It's time for us to, we done danced all over the house this Saturday morning, amen. And right now we're going to, Jesus, every time I say that, it sounds like we're in the club. But amen, we're going to slow it down a little bit. Anyway, we're going to slow it down a little bit, and we're going to contemplate, meditate on just Jesus. And you know, we've heard a lot of awesome things that the Lord will do for us, but there is a part that we have to play. And that's what a lot of people don't get about Joel Osteen. Just because he talk real nice and real smooth, you know, people think he's soft. But if you listen to what he's asking you to do, that ain't easy. To believe like he asks you to believe, to trust, lean, and rely like he asks you to, that's not easy. Okay, and he knows it, and he always talks about the two sides, okay? There is what God's going to do and has done really already, and then there's what we, by faith, brings, amen, what we need to have happen, amen? So we're just going to slow it down and remind ourselves that we have to say yes to the Lord, yes to his way, yes to his will, yes to his word. We have to say that in order to get the things, because if you look at all the promises God made, they are all prefaced by this word, if. If you do this, I'll do that. And so you can easily can come to this conclusion that if I do, God will. If I don't, God won't. So let's learn how to say yes this morning.
Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus. And we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, to your will, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor, for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have been truly moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all your needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own sister, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers' Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I am a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure. All our joy is in you. Just want more of you. Oh, save your treasure. We find our pleasure in you. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence. We find our pleasure. All our joy is in you. In your presence, that's fullness of joy. Now your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So say, we find our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful to call
you.
You.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
You are
our reward. Oh, your presence.
presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful. I give you glory. I've got to give you honor. Give you praise. In your presence, that's fullness of joy. And your right hand, that's pleasures forevermore. Having you.
Presence is a gift. Oh, we need to really, really get that in our spirit. It's so easy to take God for granted, and we shouldn't. His presence is not just a gift. It's the best gift. And then I like how he personalized it there at the end. Your presence is my gift. So I hope you feel that way. I certainly do. And so as we go before the throne of grace, recognizing that this time that we're spending with the Lord is a gift, that he's always there. Anytime you want to talk to him, any time of day, he can listen to you even while you're talking to someone that you may be having an argument with, and you want him to help you, give you the right words to say. So just remember that the Lord's presence is a gift. So let us go before the throne. Lord God, maker of heaven and earth, Father God, maker of us, your sons and daughters, great God, the one who can do all things, mighty God, stronger than any force in the universe. Yes, Lord God, and our Father God, you are the one we address this morning. We bring you greetings of love, joy, and huge appreciation, for we know without you, we have nothing. Indeed, we are nothing. Father, on behalf of us all participating in this prayer, I have just made some declarations about who you are and how much gratitude we feel. But I also know that our everyday actions usually show different. How can we say we love you and do not do what you say? Indeed, that is the case. And so we ask for your forgiveness for every time we knew full well what your word says, and we did otherwise. We ask for your forgiveness. For every time we were unsure what to do but refused to seek your counsel, we ask for forgiveness. And for each and every time we unknowingly, out of ignorance, said or did something that was contrary to your will, we ask for forgiveness. And we ask that you awaken us to your Holy Spirit so that we stop doing this. Oh, Lord God, you are holy and have requested that we walk upright in holiness too. You do not lie, cheat, steal, or commit any sin. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to walk amongst us. In his successful quest to save us, he also showed us the way, modeling how we should live. Jesus taught us everything that we would need to know to make it in this evil world that you have temporarily placed us. Oh, yes, we see that this is all temporarily. Many have left us of late. Some we know personally, like Brother Derek Perry, and others we only heard about, like the 10 people slaughtered in Buffalo, New York. Thousands have died in the war raging in Ukraine. Gun violence and COVID-19 are still weapons of the enemy that kill, steal, and destroy. Yet we know not one life will depart this earth before you, Lord God, permits it. Ecclesiastes 3 proclaims that there is an appointed time for everything, including a time to die. And Psalm 139:16 reports, all the days ordained for us were written in your book before one of them came to be. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Lord, I ask that the fact that you control life when we enter and depart be a sobering and comforting reminder. Your holding our fate is indeed sobering because we do not know when or how we will go. Help us to not squander the time, to love like there is no tomorrow. Father, while the fact that our days are numbered is something for us to take note of, it's also a source of comfort to know that you, an adoring, good, and loving Father, holds our lives together from birth until grave is a soothing thought. You said that those who worship you must do so in spirit and truth. So this morning, we put our minds on the altar. Awaken us to the fact of your truth. Let us embrace it instead of fooling ourselves into believing the lies of the evil one, lies such as we can sin with impunity or that you really don't mind when we do. Then there are the opposite lies, like if we do sin, you don't want to have anything to do with us. Not true. You sent Jesus to atone for every sin we commit. We just need to confess sin, and you who are just will forgive us. Oh, help us, Lord, to read your word so that we know you, so that we do not sin against you. Okay, Father, a bit of breaking news. Not for you, of course, but for those who are participating in this prayer. Although my television was on mute, I just looked up, and the screen flashed a notice that Speaker Nancy Pelosi is being denied communion. So you saw that I rewound the story to learn more. According to the news account, the Archbishop of San Francisco sent a letter to Speaker Pelosi because of her public support on abortion. The Archbishop told her that unless she publicly changes her stance and confesses so she receives absolution from him, she will not be permitted to receive communion. Wow, Lord, that's a lot for my little small brain. It's a lot to unpack. But as we've been speaking this morning, what is supreme is your word. You have answers for Speaker Pelosi, answers for the Archbishop, answers for the Catholic Church, and each and every one listening in. Here in the United States, we increasingly see an intersection of politics and religion. Some think this ought not be. But if we study the Bible, we see that those two cores have historically been intertwined. There are positives and negatives from a worldly view on this. But Lord, if we simply look to your word and follow your decrees, it won't matter whether we're wearing our political hat or our religious one. There is no political truth and a religious truth. There is only truth. Oh, yes, Lord, we must put truth on the altar, for it is your truth we need to seek. Your truth will set us free. And so we release right now all our cares, worries, needs, and wants into the only hands that are able to hold and handle them. Father, we pray that your will is done everywhere on earth. You said that your wish is that none would perish, but that all would have everlasting life. We stand on your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. We acknowledge, Lord, that if we keep our mind stayed on you, that you will keep us in perfect peace. Lord, let us not be selfish and to especially remember your charge to us to love each other as we love ourselves and your even greater charge for us to love each other as you have loved us. Lord, earlier I brought up news, something that many of us have gotten to the point of not wanting to hear or see. I, too, at times grow weary of learning about the evil in the world. But if I am to try and do something, if I am going to pray for peace or healing, I need to know what's going on. So right after the story aired on Speaker Pelosi being denied communion, a report of a nurse was discussed. This nurse made a fatal mistake by administering a vial of the wrong medication to a patient on an intensive care ward. Of course, there was an investigation with the outcome placing ultimate responsibility at the feet of the nurse. There was some indication that the pharmacy was lax in the safeguards and checks that were supposed to be in place, but as the nurse herself admits, she was ultimately responsible. I was struck by her contrite heart and a refusal to place blame on others. I was also struck by the fact that her family or the family of the victim issued a statement that the victim would have forgiven that nurse. Yes, we should hold people responsible for deliberate acts of evil. But as we study your word, especially the books of Exodus and Leviticus, we learn that you make concessions for unintentional behavior. I was glad to see the mercy extended to the nurse. While she was convicted, her sentence was not severe. Yes, help us to truly embrace what forgiveness looks like, what not judging another looks like, what mercy looks like. Your word is not just words. They must apply to our daily lives. Of course, our flesh is not going to want to do things your way. But if we love you, we will obey you. We commit ourselves into your hands once again, seeking your face and asking that you would heal our nations. We are fully aware, according to your word, that if we as your people call by your name, come before you humbly, pledging to turn from our wicked ways, that is what will activate your promise of healing our land. Pastor O brought it up again today, that your promises often comes with a condition. And we say we're spending so much time asking for peace, asking for the social ills of our world, like drug addiction, like unwed mothers who feel the need to want to end their pregnancies, like people looking for someone to adopt their child, like hungry children who don't have foster parents. Lord, I could go on and on about all of the horrible social conditions that are facing our nation. But you've told us what we need to do, Lord, and I pray that we will do that. We pray for true salvation of those in leadership of our nation. You said that the heart of the king is in your hands. We pray that they will seek you and make godly decisions. Let them every day acknowledge and be mindful of the stewardship that many of them pledged to undertake. And Lord, even if they did not make that pledge, you can awaken them. You can open their eyes. Just like you struck Nebuchadnezzar and he couldn't think straight, you can help him to think straight. Lord, you know, over in North Korea, it looks like they're just now facing COVID-19, that they are in a bad way. Most of the population, it said, is not vaccinated. And yet, our president, our nation has reached out. They are not viewed as a friend of our nation. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you because that is what you would call us to do. That even though we may see someone as an enemy, you told us to give them a glass of water if they're thirsty. And you said that if they're hungry, to feed them. And Lord, we are considered one of the richest nations on this earth. And for us to look to another nation who is in need, even if we see them as an enemy and not offer assistance, sincerely offer assistance, would be horrible and atrocious. And so I ask, Lord, that you will continue to hold the heart of the king that we call the president. In our nation, we know he's not a king, Lord, and that word is used to talk about the leaders. And so, Father, please, we would much rather have a leader who is listening and seeking your counsel than one that is not. So please, please, let him continue to do that. We pray for healing spiritually, mentally, and physically for the sick that may be amongst us, including Mother Irma, who's on the mend, brothers Tyrone and Rayfield. We pray that they know and feel your presence every step of the way towards their healing and recovering. And we're pleading that it will take place speedily. And Lord, we want to remember to give you the glory. And I can't even report, Father, that the prayers that have been offered up on behalf of my husband, I know that you're listening, and he is starting to see some receding in the pain. And I just thank you so much. And I know that there are other wives and husbands that are participating, and mothers and fathers who are praying for their loved ones, Lord. Let what I just said be an encouragement to them, that you answer prayers, that you are listening, and I thank you. Help us to see that it's you, Lord God, that's with us, that it is you leading us into all righteousness. Help us to remember, Father, that you always permit those to find you when they earnestly seek you. And also to remember, as we talked about earlier, our days are numbered. Let that knowledge urge us to be about your business. For those who have recently lost loved ones, we ask that you would comfort them by way of the Holy Spirit, including the Perry family. Let them receive acts of kindness, especially from believers, so that they see you through our works. We know there's another family locally, the Johnson's family, that also lost a sister and an aunt and a mother, Lord. Please watch over them. We place all of this at your feet, our world, families, relationships, everything on our hearts right here at the altar. And we're going to leave it here. We're not going to move until you tell us to. We're casting our cares on you just like you told us to. So now, Lord, I ask that you would hear all of the individual requests that are being offered up from across the entire world of worshipers through this broadcast. Thank you for this venue of Blog Talk and for listening to us. I pray, Father, that everyone listening in is already saved, meaning that they have accepted your gift of salvation through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that already those listening have already accepted, and if they haven't, that they will before the service has ended. Please use this offering of praise, worship, and teaching to draw men and women to you so they accept your wonderful salvation. Lord, we want to continue to press on in unity of our faith and the knowledge of your Son so we mature and measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Father, we also acknowledge that there are not just those that are tuning in live or those who will tune in tomorrow or even next week. There may be some who will tune in a very distant time. We pray for those souls, Lord, especially if they're going through things that we can't even conceive of in the year 2022, maybe even going through the tribulation time. Lord, please give them a word for them in their time. And Lord, we know you'll do this because you are a faithful God, keeping your covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love you and who keep your commands. We bring these petitions as we proclaim you as King, acknowledging you to be that you are, as eternal, immortal, invisible, and the only God. And so we end our prayer, joining heaven, declaring, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And now we end and seal our prayer in the great name that every knee will bow to one day and that every tongue will confess as Lord. In the great name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yes, power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Deaconess Rogers, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you so much. Have the best day ever. All right. All right. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to just say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, to be a blessing to others, and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part. Icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this song selection is the beautiful, spirited sister, associate pastor Janine Folks. Let us prepare to receive associate pastor Janine Folks coming her own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
We give an honor to God, the head of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, he is real to me. Yes, it will all reveal in time.
I know.
So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. All you got to do is trust in him and never doubt. He'll always be there for you. He'll never let you down. And I believe in that, cause I'm a living witness to this, y'all. Cause without God, my life would be nothing. So if you believe in what I'm saying, I want y'all all to come on and repeat after me. I know the Lord is real.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave his life, he sacrificed. Just to save my soul. Come on, y'all. I know the Lord.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave us all his blessings. What's 2,000 years ago? Now come on, y'all. Help me sing the song. Yeah. Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real.
Sing.
I
can feel him in my soul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Lord is real.
He's a personal friend of mine.
Amen, amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. How good and pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. For where there is unity, there is indeed strength. Good morning and happy Saturday, Run for Christ Ministries. Good morning, greetings, Pastor Overall, Lady Sheila, our deacons, trustees, members, friends, and everybody around the world listening, tuning in to Blog Talk Radio for Running for Christ Ministries on this Saturday morning. I am so grateful this morning, and I honor this sacred space, this time that we have together to share and hear what God is saying to us in this hour. And it is a beautiful day. It's a little cloudy where I am in Detroit, a little rainy, but sometimes we need that, and it's still beautiful. It helps us, or it encourages us to be still sometimes. And sometimes we do need to sit still and be introspective, to think, to ponder, to listen instructions, because sometimes when we get busy and running around, we can't hear because we're too distracted. So days like this help us to be still and listen, and we need that in our lives. Good morning again, everybody. I'm just so grateful, so excited. I'm grateful to be in such great company this morning for you who are listening. I'm grateful for Kathy Clyburn, as always, just being so positive and energetic consistently. Deaconess Loretta Welch, thank you for getting us started, and of course, my sister, Deacon June Rogers, I thank you for that insightful, meaningful prayer, and so relevant and applicable
to our lives today. I just thank you for that. Thank you, Pastor Overall, for even making this whole thing possible, for bringing us together, bringing these voices and these spirits together to edify and comfort the people of God. I'm just grateful for that. Okay, so I'm going to say a prayer, but while I'm doing that, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 27. I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 26. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. We thank you for sending us your word and the words and messages and the information that you've provided in the word to equip us, to teach us, to prepare us and enable us to live life successfully. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, I just pray that something comes out of my mouth that is edifying, life-changing, that will bless a life, that will help someone fulfill destiny, to help someone be introspective, to seek your face, to seek you and your will, your way, and whatever it is that you would have us to do for you in this hour, Lord, at a time such as this, Lord. Speak to us, speak to our hearts, touch our hearts, Lord. Lift us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Matthew 27. Verses 19 through 26. And just then, as he was presiding over the court, Pilate's wife sent him this message. Leave that good man alone, for I had a terrible nightmare concerning him last night. And she's speaking of Jesus, of course. Meanwhile, the chief priests and the Jewish officials persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas' release and for Jesus' death. So when the governor again asked, which of these two shall I release to you? The crowd shouted back their reply, Barabbas. Then what shall I do with Jesus, your Messiah? Pilate asked. And they shouted, crucify him. Why? Pilate demanded. What has he done wrong? But they kept shouting, crucify, crucify. And when Pilate saw that he wasn't getting anywhere with them and that a riot was developing, he sent for a bowl of water, and he washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this good man. The responsibility is yours. And the mob yelled back, his blood be on us and our children. And then Pilate released Barabbas to them, and after he whipped Jesus, he gave him to the Roman soldiers to be taken away and crucified. So Pilate acquiesced to the crowd. The crowd had been influenced, and they just demanded for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Today, I want to talk about wishy-washy people and a change of heart. And I know that Easter or resurrection-related celebrations are about a month behind us, but I want to reflect on those events, and I think we should continue on these events year-round, because after all, it is what our salvation hinges upon. These events are crucial to what our faith means. I reflect upon those who were around Jesus when these events were taking place, and many human characteristics are revealed, and they're some of the same ones we deal with today. So Jesus hadn't done anything wrong, but the crowd yelled for his crucifixion, demanded for his crucifixion, even though they really couldn't justify why they wanted him crucified. It was an unjust crucifixion, and their hearts had been hardened. And sometimes it's necessary for people's hearts to be hardened toward us so that God's plan can unfold. And sometimes we have issues with that when hearts are hardened against us. Now let's go back a week prior to this incident, prior to them yelling, crucify him. Remember, Jesus rode a colt, making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He rode the colt rather than a fancy horse-drawn carriage with guards and an entourage. It was the most humble mode of transportation, considering who Jesus is. Nevertheless, he came through, and the people praised him. They threw down palms on the ground, and they yelled, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." And that's from Mark 11:9. It was truly a praise party celebrating the King of Kings. So a week ago, he was being praised, King of Kings. They yelled, "Hosanna." And who would have thought on that day that a week later, the crowd would have a change of heart and turn around and say, "Crucify him." And it just goes to show how tables can turn, how quickly they can turn, and how people can turn. Because back in Matthew 21, just that week ago, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the coat, and they put their clothes on and set them there on. And then there was a great multitude of people, and they were the ones throwing down the palm branches, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna." So now we can see how quickly things can turn around in our lives. And it happened to Jesus, and it can happen to us. And I just want to kind of touch on the coat, the fact that he rode a coat in, or I guess that would be equivalent to a donkey. And it was just so humble. When you know who you are, it doesn't matter what you drive. I had to throw that out there. When you know who you are, when you know whose you are, when you know your assignment, whether you drive a fancy car or whether you drive a hoopty, it should not matter, because you are who you are, no matter what you drive. You are who you are. Your destiny is your destiny. Your gift is your gift. Your assignment is your assignment. I don't know who that was for, but I just felt like I needed to say that. So the excitement and the support quickly turned around. After the triumphant entry, when they were yelling, "Hosanna, Hosanna," and praising him as their king, their Messiah, as the days passed, the fanfare dwindled, supporters fell off, and false and ridiculous charges were trumped up against him. Jesus eventually stood before Pilate, and folk went from screaming, "Hosanna," to yelling, "Crucify him." Jesus went from hero to zero, just that fast. Were these the same people? Maybe. But it reminds me of how people value choice over your own. Well, let me back up. I want to just give another example of how quickly things can change and how people change their minds or change their perspective. And even most recently, if you've been watching the news, back, you know, when the vaccine, when they were trying to mandate a vaccine, there were certain people who said, "No, this is my body. I don't have to get the vaccine. You can't make me get the vaccine. I have a choice over my own body, whether I want to be vaccinated or not." Some of those same people who wanted a choice over whether or not they would be vaccinated are some of the same people who say, "But no, you don't have a choice over your own body if it relates to abortion." So they want to be pro-choice when they want to be and when they don't want to be. So it's so wishy-washy. So are we for choice or not for choice? I guess it just depends on what we're choosing. And so there's some inconsistencies. There's some double standard there. Are we a nation of freedom of choice or are we not? Just something to think about. And I'm not saying one way or another how I feel about either, but there is definitely a double standard there. So the tables, you know what they say about those tables, they turn. And there's one thing for certain in life, and that is change. Change is life. Sometimes people change. Sometimes their views change. Sometimes their opinions change. Attitudes change, point of views change, and people may change their stance on one thing or another. And even our knowledge changes, because as we continue to live, we're constantly gathering more information. We're learning new things. And sometimes the more we learn, it just changes the way we think. It changes how we view things, and it changes how we feel about things. And there are so many moving parts in life, and these fluctuations affect how we think and feel, and it can be up and down. Now, back to wishy-washy people, the people who yelled out for Jesus' crucifixion. And to add insult to injury, during this time, those who were closest to Jesus couldn't even be relied upon for support when he needed them the most. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they fell asleep when they were supposed to be up praying with him. Imagine the emotional shift where the people who have been riding with you, who you needed during this crucial time, and they fell asleep. He knew what was about to happen, and then he felt all alone, like he felt abandoned. And no wonder he sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. The agony was intense. Yet he drank from the cup. Even though he really didn't want to, he remained obedient to the Father. And he loved the unlovable. He even prayed for their forgiveness because they were ignorant. In Luke 23:34, where he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he went innocently before the cross to bear our sins. It's like a story of up one day and down the next. Have you ever been there? You had money one week, but then the next week you were broke. We see exaltation here, and then the next thing we see condemnation. We see unification and then abandonment. We see wishy-washy people who cannot take a stand and stick with it. We see people who follow the crowd and go along with what's popular at the time. These people are unreliable. You don't really know whether they're going to be with you or not. And even, you know, in times like this where there's so much uncertainty, where we don't know if we're going to be up one moment, down the next moment, those are the times where we have to be like Paul. When Paul said that, he said he knew how to be both rich and poor. And that's when he said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul knew how to be flexible. Whatever his situation called for, whether he had money, whether he was up or whether he was down, he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him, and so can we. And we have to be mindful of that, because it's not going to be sunshine every day. Just like today, we love sunny, nice weather days. But when it's raining like this, we still need to take on the attitude of, it's still a beautiful day. It's still a good day. Whether it's rainy or whether it's sunshine, it's a good day. And we have to learn to be flexible and do all things through Christ and have a great attitude, a positive outlook on whatever the circumstances present before us. And this is life. There are ups and downs in life. People come and go. It's like a constant revolving door with the waves going up and down. And it can exhaust us. It can be a rough ride, but we hold on, and people change. Their thoughts and feelings can change at the drop of a dime. And when I was putting this together about how people can suddenly have a change of heart, it made me think about Amnon. Do y'all remember one of David's sons named Amnon? And he was so in love with his sister Tamar, and he pretended to be sick, and he tricked her so she would want to take care of him. He was so smitten by her that it made him sick. So he came up with a plan on how to be with her. And then when he got what he wanted, the scripture says that then Amnon hated her exceedingly so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, "Arise, be gone." So he went from wanting to be with her to all of a sudden, get out, be gone. And he hated her after he loved her. And we don't really know what happened in his brain that clicked, that made him have such an abrupt and drastic change of heart. But we see, you know, it can happen. And there does have to be a reason why somebody might have a change of heart, where they may be a riding with you today and vanish tomorrow. We don't know. We don't know. And sometimes it seems so unfair. People have a change of heart. Even those who have been the best of friends to us could someday, over the slightest things, change their mind about you and decide to treat you differently or disconnect from you. But don't fret. It's all a part of God's plan. If God allows someone to leave you like that, we have to let it be. let God do his thing. And we thank God for the faithful ones. We thank God for those who stuck with him. And we thank God for those who are stable in our lives. It's a blessing to have friends like those in the book of Luke, where they had that paralyzed friend and they made a hole in the roof and lowered him so he could be healed. And God will send us people to take care of us, people to look after us, people to support us. God knows how to send people to us. And when we find ourselves alone, we shouldn't be mad at people. We should just think about, okay, God, what are you doing? You have me separated. You have me isolated right now. There has to be a reason for it. What do you want to say to me? Instead of us getting mad at people saying, y'all don't support me, y'all left me, or you should be here with me. It could be a part of God's plan. That's why we have a prayer life. And when you have that prayer life and you're in touch and in tune with God, you know that when these things happen, he is still with you and that he's working something out, even though we don't have all the details, we don't have all the information. But we do have our faith and we have our trust in God. So, God, if you have separated me, if you have taken people away from me, I trust you, Lord, that there is a reason for it. And if I need help, if I need someone to be with me, Lord, I trust that you will send someone my way to assist me if that's what the situation calls for, Lord, and if that is a part of your plan. Because sometimes we try to hold on to people that are hindering our destiny. God is so faithful. God's not going to take away somebody that you absolutely need. He's not going to take away or have a person distance themselves from you if they're a crucial part of your assignment. We have to trust God. And sometimes it does seem unfair, but people haven't changed their hearts. And even those who have been our friends, it's okay. And hearts get hardened. Just like in Egypt when Pharaoh's heart got hardened and it sounded cruel, but it was something that had to happen in order for God's children to do what they needed to do, to show them that he would part the Red Sea for them. If Pharaoh hadn't hardened his heart, none of that would have happened. So we can't get upset sometimes when people harden their hearts toward us. We just have to say, okay, God, what are you doing? Come on, God, be with me. Help me get through this. We have to trust God. So don't fret. But wait, before we get too proud, we do have to remember that we ourselves are wishy-washy where we want to be. Sometimes fear drives our decisions rather than conviction. Sometimes we go with what seems safe, pleasurable, or comfortable rather than what's right. And we have let people down, and we've been let down. And the best of us who feel incapable of doing such, like Peter, who swore he would never sell out Jesus, we never know what a situation might bring out of us. And when people fail you or are wishy-washy, don't get mad. Remember, they're people. They're humans. They are not God. So we shouldn't expect them to be like God. We don't even know what our own hearts are capable of sometimes, just like Peter didn't know when he denied Jesus 3 times. He never expected to do that. He never thought he would have done it, but in that moment, he was so afraid that he wasn't even him to right or wrong circumstances present themselves to you when you're in a vulnerable mental state or you're feeling desperate. You don't know what you might do. And sometimes we have no idea what we're capable of or what we would do in certain situations, and that's why we have to stay prayed up. And Jeremiah 17:9 warns us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sometimes we don't know our own hearts. Sometimes we don't know what a situation might bring out in us. So we have to be careful in judging and writing people off. We don't know what their mental state is. They could be suffering from some sort of mental illness or, I don't know, we don't always have all the information. Nonetheless, even though Peter did what he did, he got out of character, he got scared, and he denied Jesus in that moment of fear, but yet he was redeemed, and he went on to have a powerful ministry. God restored him. So even when we mess up, we don't have to give up on ourselves because our Redeemer lives. Even when we're wishy-washy, once we stabilize ourselves and get our minds back right, and remember who we are. God is our Redeemer. Yes, we make mistakes. We make errors in judgment. We change our minds from time to time, but let us not be double-minded either. Like James 1, 7, and 8 said, it said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we don't want to be double-minded. We do need to pick a side, even though sometimes we may get confused, we may get fearful, but we have to quickly make that right once we realize what we've done. We have to find a balance between being focused and committed and also being open to learning and being renewed as we learn and grow. Now, we know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that God doesn't change, right? But we also know that God is also a God who, when necessary, will do a new thing. And just because God may do a new thing, it doesn't mean that he has changed. Now, Isaiah 43:19 says that, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So we just have to use our discernment. We know God doesn't change. But sometimes he may change his strategy. He may change his method. He may do things in a different way. He may be unconventional, but it's still going to ultimately lead to his plan, his way, and it will not go against his word, even if he does change us, do a different strategy or do something new in our lives. It's still going to line up with his word. We do have changes of our heart in our heart. Sometimes we change our minds. We kind of go back and forth. But revelation and discovery can bring us into proper alignment. When we have a change of heart, let it be the creation of a clean heart. Like Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. So, yeah, when we do have changes of heart, let it be in the right direction. Let us always seek the Lord and ask him for direction and guidance. Feelings are subject to change. And sometimes our thoughts and feelings do need to change. And sometimes it's in our best interest to evolve and not be stuck. Sometimes we have to break tradition or wrong thinking, or whenever there's inefficient or ineffective antiquated ways, sometimes those can be a hindrance or bondage to our freedom and our growth. So we walk that thin line between being open-minded but yet committed and focused on God's way and being faithful and unwavering in our faith. We do need to stay true, loyal, and faithful to the principles of the Word of God, to God and to his work and to our assignment, and we need to stay excited about our dreams, visions, and goals, and our ideas that come to us in the night. And I'm going to give an example of sometimes how, and this is personal for me, how I could be wishy-washy myself. It seems like I get some of my best ideas at night. I might be kind of sleepy or halfway asleep, but I'll get these ideas in the night or when I'm doing something and not really expecting to get an idea. And then by morning or the next day, sometimes the excitement will fizzle out because I start overthinking, analyzing, and talking myself out of it. But sometimes we have to hold on to the vision that God gives us. And I'm sure we have talked ourselves out of so many assignments because we changed our mind and the energy started to wane and the excitement started to dwindle as we come against brick walls and pushback, and when the dreams just seem so hard to fulfill, and when we realize all the work and the commitment that's involved, we just say, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not going to pursue that. That's too much, or that's not possible. But we have to learn to stay focused and trust God. If God gave you a vision or an assignment, we have to learn how to stay true to it. If that's really something God gave you, if it's something he gave you to do. And I think when God gives you something, it's kind of hard to ignore it or hard to walk away from it. I think it's possible to walk away from it, but it should be hard. And that's why we have to stay close to God. We have to stay prayerful. I remember when I had the dream that I woke up one morning. I guess I had a dream during the night that I was going to write a book. And I had never talked about writing a book before. And then all of a sudden I woke up and it was like, I'm writing a book. And I didn't know what it was going to be about, what it would contain, but I just had this knowing. And because I hadn't really talked about it, I kind of wanted to ignore it and go on with my life and pretend that that dream didn't even happen, that I wasn't going to write a book because that was going to require extra work and extra things that I needed to do and extra research that I didn't feel like doing. But I couldn't get it off my mind, and eventually I became obsessed with it. And I think sometimes when God gives you a vision, you have to become obsessed with it so that you don't lose that zeal, so that you don't lose that excitement and that you will stick with it. And more recently, an example is I remember last year when my cousin came to me about doing this outdoor rink, and it sounded good. I didn't think it would be as big as it ended up being. And I was kind of like, okay, fine. But then once I realized the magnitude of it, it was almost terrifying for him. We were like, oh, my God, what have we gotten ourselves into? What have we signed up for? And sometimes God's assignments, when he gives them to you, they may seem so big that you don't know how you're going to do it. You don't even want to do it. It's just so overwhelming. But you just keep going. You got to keep going. And we kept going. We kept going. And God brought us through it. And now, this year, even bigger, even bigger. And that's how we grow. When God gives us a big assignment, we can't run from it. We can't be afraid of it. We can't be intimidated by it. And once we commit, we have to go all in, full force with everything we got. We got to go for it. Because that's the only way you'll do big things. And we have to let go of the fear. Love casts out fear. We have to love God, love the assignment that he gave us, and have passion for it, like the passion of Christ. We have to have that fire burning in us. And don't let that fire go dim. Don't let it get put out by negativity, by naysayers, by people who don't believe in your vision, by people who think you're crazy, by people who think, oh, you're just dreaming. Because even when I mentioned the idea of this outdoor rink, I got so much negative feedback and so many reasons why it wouldn't work from certain people. What kind of music you going to play? Like, they would find the smallest little detail to find a reason why it wouldn't work. And I'm so glad I didn't listen to them. I'm glad we kept moving forward. You got to keep going with your plan, whatever God gave you. He didn't give it to everybody, but then there's always going to be those people that want to say, you know, why it won't work. But you got to move forward. Don't be wishy-washy with it. Be committed to that assignment that God has given you, and watch him cause you to soar. Now, I know I'm talking about wishy-washy people and people who may abandon you, people who may walk out on you and things like that. And I'm not talking about this to make you feel discouraged. I'm not talking about this to give you trust issues with people and their fickleness. I just want you to be aware. People can have a change of heart. We may even have a change of heart sometimes, and it may or may not have anything to do with you. But I'm telling you this because I want you to stay focused on your assignment, no matter what people around you have decided to do or not to do, no matter who withdraws their support from you, no matter who walks out of your life. You keep going. If this is what God has called you to do, you stay with it. He will send you support. God will cause you to thrive, even when you've been abandoned. God will show your enemies how little impact they have in the grand scheme of things. You don't even have to try to gather support. It will come. You don't have to beg anybody to help you. God will send people. Let him do it. You don't have to rally up troops. God will send forces to support you. People around you are not powerful enough to thwart God's work. You hear me? So don't turn back in the middle of progress. Don't get scared and say, oh, my God, what have I got myself into? If you know God gave it to you, you better go forward with it and don't look back. You cannot afford to be wishy-washy or double-minded right now. People will leave you. People will walk away, and that's okay. It's a part of the plan. Don't get sad about it. Don't lament. Instead, rejoice. The Lord is good. Aren't you glad that no matter who we fail or who fails us, there is always one who will never fail, one who will never leave us nor forsake us? He said in Hebrews 13:5, praise God for not being wishy-washy. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the solid rock we can always count on. And that's all we need is Jesus. Even when we're wishy-washy or people around us are, our Redeemer lives and he is stable, security in him and his unwavering love for us. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that is Jesus. Stay in God's face. I had a friend tell me one time when I was kind of feeling confused and unsure of a decision, he said, stay in God's face. And I know I'm glad God is not like me because sometimes I don't like people in my face all the time. I'm such a loner. And sometimes that's how I feel, but I'm glad God doesn't feel like that. God appreciates when we're in his face. He wants us in his face. He wants us near him. He wants us to depend on him and to seek him for guidance and for wisdom. Hold on to his unchanging hand. I recall an old hymn that is engraved upon my heart, one that I shall never forget, and it goes like this, and I can't sing, but hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hope on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. His hand is unchanging. Cleave to him, cling on him, hold on to the solid rock, our anchor, the immovable one, our Lord, our Savior. Even when everybody else bailed, Jesus remained committed to the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, it got rough. The crew couldn't hang. They fell asleep. They were no help. They let him down, but Jesus stayed committed. And let us learn from one of the greatest, well, the greatest example. Jesus, when everybody leaves, you stay faithful. God bless you and keep you with my prayer. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Lord have mercy. Wishy-washy people. And what was that last part? And change or?
Unchanged. His unchanging hand.
Oh, okay. Well, wishy-washy people and?
Oh, a change of heart.
And a change of heart. Janine, thank you so much for that word. And, you know, I'm sorry I got into it a little bit, but I didn't know the Lord was going to preach that. I had no idea he was going to preach that, and he seemed to shape the whole show around that. And I'm thankful to the Holy Spirit for that. And didn't I just see you in New York yesterday or the day yesterday?
Something like that, yeah.
Girl, you get around. You get around. And, you know, anyway, you got me all wound up. I am all wound up. Janine, thank you. And thank you for blessing us. And thank you for allowing the Lord to use you in the way that he wanted to and not being wishy-washy about what he wants you to say. Oh, I'm going to wear it out. You know I'm going to wear it out, right? It's like no limits. I'm going to wear it out. I don't forget. I remember. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Tell everybody in your house we said hey and we send our love.
Amen. We'll do.
Amen. I am wound up, y'all, and I ain't going to avoid it. Before I get into these announcements, you know, Crystal's a little under the weather. Okay, so I'm going to be doing announcements. So since I got the mic, and I'm going to take my time. Amen. I'm going to be doing a thing on YouTube. Jesus has been after me to do it, but, you know, wishy-washy hit me. But anyway, I'm finna not be wishy-washy and go ahead and do what I'm telling you. You know, I got preached to this morning because Jesus has been trying to get me to speak on choice because the church don't understand our position on choice. We think our position is pro-life, but with choice. That's our position. So I'm going to do a thing on YouTube with that and give scriptures from Adam up to a certain point to show that God gave us choice and God never took it away from us no matter how many bad choices we've made. Y'all know I wrote a book on Christian history. Amen. And to do that book, Jesus had me to study world history from Adam till today, then go back and study Christian history from Genesis 3:15 till today. So while I was going through there, I seen a multitude of bad choices from Adam till today. But one thing that you heard Pastor Janine Folk say, that the Lord is not wishy-washy and he does not change. He stays focused on the mission. And he never changed, but man did. Man kept changing, making bad choices, but God never took choice away. I can't wait to do this thing because it's needed. And this thing, you know, I wrote a book, two books really, The Church That Jesus Built and the Bible, God's Word to Us. And it was all about this thing between the Catholic Church and that communion. In short, the Catholic Church believes that there is a saving efficacy attached to communion and baptism. That is not biblical. That is not doctrinal. You can't find that truth anywhere in the Bible, so it's not truth from God. It's truth from the hierarchical system of the Catholic Church and the way they run it, okay? Protestantism does not do that. They believe if they cut you off from the communion, which only an ordained priest, ordained and authorized by the Pope, can administer this sacrament. And so if they cut you off from it, that means your salvation gone. They even go as far as to say that if a city mayor don't behave like they want him to, and he's a Catholic, they'll excommunicate him and place an interdict over the whole city. That means every Catholic in that city just lost the right to take the communion, and since there's a saving grace in it, you just lost your salvation. And in that way, for 1,250 years, the Catholic Church controlled people and scared them into doing like they're trying to scare Nancy Pelosi by saying, if you don't do what we say and believe the way we believe about abortion, then Jesus is going to take your salvation, and he gave us the right to take it from you. That is nowhere at all in the Bible. That can be proved nowhere in God's word. But that's what Catholics believe, that there is something attached to that communion. So I'm going to do a thing on YouTube about that. But Nancy Pelosi will not lose her salvation because Jesus gave it to her, not the Catholic Church. That skewed doctrine they got, that's their problem. It doesn't exist in Protestantism, and the whole reason Protestantism exists is because of that. Okay? But that's a whole other story. Get my books and you'll read that. Amen? But I'm going to do a thing on choice. And it's very much needed because we don't need to be wishy-washy on this issue. We don't need some Christians believing Jesus wants us to just take choice away from people. What Jesus wants us to do, in short, is to make a reasonable argument in favor of them keeping the birth, if at all possible. But ultimately, whatever argument we make to the person who has to make the decision, they have the right to choose from God. We don't, look at us, we don't always choose God's way. But nobody takes our choice from us. Men are really something. A bunch of wrinkled up old men and one woman want to take choice from women. But men, they got a part in making babies too. It's like that woman, and I'm preaching, Jesus. It's like that woman over there in chapter 8 of the book of John, right? Right at the top. They bring a woman, listen to this, caught in an act of adultery. In some versions, it says the very act. That means they caught him in the throes. But somehow the man got away. No punishment at all. He wasn't thrown in front of Jesus and asked to make a choice. But the woman was. There's not one law on the books that tells men what they can and cannot do when it comes to choosing what they want to do with their body. But you want to put a law in the book that tells women we're going to choose for you what you can and cannot do for your body. You should hear these stories I'm hearing of people. A little girl was raped. She was raped. She was 12 or 11 years old. Under this new law, she would be forced to have that. 11-year-old would have to go through what a woman goes through those 9 months, almost a year, to bear a child. So I'm going to do a thing on YouTube about that so we can get straight on that. At least the Lord will let folks know where he stands on that. And I can tell you right now, God is all for us. He tells us, look, I set before you two roads, life and death. Choose life. But notice he says choose. If you take choice away from me, I can't do what God said. He told me to choose him willingly, his way willingly. I can't do that if you legislating it. And you cannot legislate righteousness if you ain't read the old, if you read the Old Testament, you know that ain't going to work. Okay, give me getting into these announcements. The preacher done preached and tore up that sermon. She tore it up, y'all. That's what we call it. That was a good thing, though. You ain't wishy-washy, are you? Feet probably got stepped all over. Janine did it. Sunday, May 22nd, 2022, we'll have our in-person worship service at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and worship. We will hear the preached word by Pastor O. I'll be preaching from James chapter 4. Amen. And I'm still in the book of James, still on that series. We're going to be talking about why we fight so much. Why are we judging people? And why are we having too much self-confidence and leaving God out of everything? So we're going to talk about that. Amen. You're welcome to join us. All we ask is that you wear a mask, especially with COVID on the rise. I don't know what they were thinking when they told us you don't have to wear a mask. We're going to give you the choice. And then 5 minutes later, but we ain't giving you a choice. I ain't going to start that over again. If you do not have one, we will provide you with one for free. You can listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio. Now, that comes on out Monday, 12:30 a.m. That means at midnight it comes out on Monday. Amen. And you can listen to the recorded service. Okay. All you have to do is go to our church website and click on Recorded Sunday Services, which is also Recorded Sunday and Saturday Services. Like this one will be over there, okay, as soon as about 5 minutes after this. Okay, every Sunday, 3 p.m., this Sunday at 3 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. That is a work. Amen. That is a work and very much needed. Don't forget to tune in and give her your support tomorrow, 3 p.m., right here on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we hold our Bible reading class. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon will be teaching from the book of Proverbs, chapters 1 through 5. The questions are available online at rscm.org. All you have to do is click on Bible classes. Or if in-person church, they'll be on the back table on Sunday. You can just go to the back table and get your questions. Every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries holds their ladies' Bible class from 11:30 to 1 p.m., but I believe this Saturday, because they're dealing with the homegoing of Reverend Derek Perry, who went home to be with the Lord. We're still here, but he's at home. But we are celebrating his homegoing today right now. It's in progress right now. So pray for the family. And I'm pretty sure the Bible class is not going to happen today because she's there on behalf of Running for Christ Ministries as well as Pastor Jonathan Tate. Now, if you would like to pay your tithes and offerings, please visit our church website at rfcm.org and just click on tithes and offerings. If you'd like to give to the preacher that preached today, Pastor Janine Folks, please remember to specify her name when you give your offering, and we will see to it that she receives it. Lord Jesus, bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and them. Now, there's a preacher's offering over there under tithes and offerings, and I believe we have Janine's Cash App and another way that you can give to her, okay? So there's three ways you can do it. You can do it through Running for Christ Ministries, and we'll get it to her. or you can do it directly to her through her Cash App and her, and the other means that she have for you to do that. All you have to do is click on Tithes and Offerings and then click up Preacher's Info, Preacher's Giving Info. You know, that's what it says, I believe. Okay. Prayers for Mother Irma Miller, who is recovering at home. Don't forget to keep Tyrone Hamilton in your prayers. Excuse me. Amen. Sometimes you just have to clear your throat. Amen. Okay, keep. We like to call him the father of our church, being the senior man in the church. So keep Tyrone Hamilton in your prayers. And prayers for all the mothers on the move, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. And prayers also for Anita Chambers, Lisa Thornton, and her family. As Deaconess June Rogers mentioned in her prayer about Deacon Rayfield, her husband is on demand. We thank God for answering our prayers. Amen. Baby Holy Ghost assisted. I know y'all heard her in the background. She don't want to be heard, but she whisper loud. Amen. So keep them in your prayers, especially Brother Rayfield. Keep them in your all of these. Keep them in your prayers so that God raise them up on their feet and that they can literally walk back into the church and give that testimony so that all our hearts are encouraged. Okay? Okay, birthday celebrations. Amen. Deacon Rayfield Rogers. It's his month, his whole month. He's celebrating the whole month, the whole month. Nobody else was born in June except, in May, except Deacon Rayfield Rogers. So we're going to celebrate his birthday the whole month. Amen? So if you party every single day this month, it'll be all right. Amen. Well, that is the announcements for today. Don't forget to pray for our world leaders. Pray for Ukraine. Pray for our president. And for all the leaders of this country, that they are guided and led in the right direction for this country. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Since she is still here, I'm going to bring Minister Pastor Folks back in. Let her give us some last words and prayers out of here, and then I'll get a benediction. And we can get into our Saturday. And I cannot believe I actually made it on time. I should preach. No. Give us some last words, Janine. And,
Amen.
And we'll be good.
Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this sacred space where we can share your spirit, your word. Lord, watch over us. Lord, keep us. And Lord, bless our day. And as we go into a new week, Lord, we know that you already go before us, Lord, and ask for your guidance, for your leadership, for your wisdom, Lord, to carry us through. Lord, bless us and keep us, Lord, and let that word marinate and let it germinate in our minds and help us to spread our wings and stay focused and focused on you and in your face, God, because as long as we're in your face, you're going to guide us and lead us. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Have a blessed day and tell everybody in your house we said hi. Uh-oh, one more birthday here. We got another birthday. John McFall, amen. God bless. May 2nd. So we got two of them in May. God bless. John McFall. Hey, man, I was seeing his name somewhere. Let's see, who's coming up next week to preach? Okay, I got all these papers over here. Oh, don't worry about it, y'all. We in time. I can't believe this. We are actually on time. I think Pastor Terrence Tate is up next week. So be sure to tune in next week. Pastor Terrence Tate will be bringing the word, and you're probably going to be hearing him a little bit more because other folks have things to do. And so Pastor Terrence Tate has agreed to stand in for those who have to stand out. And so, because God got them doing other things, the Lord Jesus be doing that, okay? And God got them doing other things, so he's going to be standing in for them and keeping up his regular preaching schedule. So y'all pray for Pastor Tate because he need to come up with about three sermons next couple of months or so, this month, next month, and the next month, okay? So he's going to be triple dutying, quadruple dutying. So y'all pray for him that the Lord give him a whole bunch of words for all of us to hear, amen, and be blessed by. Amen. Don't forget to pray for he's coming to do our Father's Day sermon. DeAndre Perry, that's Derek Perry's son. He'll be preaching for us on Father's Day. And we have a thing coming up in September. We're going to be Men of God thing. And so he'll also, if he's available, be preaching in that too. And keep your ears open to hear about what's happening in August. Pastor Janice Tate is getting together. August is going to be Women's Month, so Women of God, and so she's getting together, getting August together, and I'm working on, you know, with Pastor Jonathan Tate, September is going to be Men of God Month, and so keep looking out for that. That's coming down the pike, and okay, and yeah, that'll be the whole month. So anyway, you'll hear a whole lot more about that in the coming future. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we meet again. Let the whole church say, amen.
I dedicate this song to those that have lost loved ones along the way. If we hold on, we're going to see them again after a while.
How could I forget? Sometimes you held my hand and wiped the tears from my eyes. How could I forget? Oh yeah, that when I needed someone, you were right by my side. I know you had to be an angel in disguise, sent from God to bring joy to my life. And now you've gone back home, and I want you to know I still hear your voice, I still feel your touch. When I close my eyes, I can see your smile. And though you've gone away to a better place, I can't wait to be with you after a while. Oh, after a while. Sometimes I break down, I accept God's will in spite of the way I feel. Sometimes I wish that I could take your place. You should not have gone that way. But I know you were an angel in the sky. And I want you to know
you're gonna see them again. Hey.